G'day and welcome to Perco's Podcast, a podcast all about strategy, leadership and soul care. We're here to help you obtain your personal, professional and spiritual goals without losing your soul. We hope that today's episode is refreshing and gives you a new perspective. Now here's your host, Jason Perkins.
Well, g'day everyone and welcome to episode 22, part 1 of Perco's Podcast. As always, I hope it is well with your soul today, wherever you are listening from around the world. If you're a regular here on Perco's Podcast, you will know that that is a huge goal of ours. We want to see an entire generation of leaders not only reach their goals, but in the end, we want them to be able to authentically say, "It is well with my soul." Today's conversation is a fantastic one with an incredible couple that I believe have done very well at caring not only for their own souls, but for each other's souls and the souls of people around them as well. I'm super excited to introduce you to Barry and Paula Davis, who have been married for nearly 5 decades now and have lived a life of ministry to other married couples along the way. In recent years, Barry's ministry has centered on developing relational tools for men as they explore their inner worlds. And again, if you're a regular to Perco's Podcast, you'll know that we describe soul care as simply this: it's tending to the garden of your inner life. And Barry has done an incredible job of creating some tools to help men do just that. Paula has a doctorate of education. Her research explored the transferability of Western trauma constructs to collective societies. Working in higher education over many years as a senior lecturer in counseling, she presently works as a clinical counselor, supervisor, and adjunct lecturer in counseling. Together, Barry and Paula designed relational tools for married couples and have delivered marriage education workshops in Australia, Kenya, Uganda, Sri Lanka, India, and Switzerland. Barry and Paula see themselves as ordinary couple living through the highs and lows of married life. They are passionate about sharing their journey because they believe that their experiences offer hope to other couples who desire to improve their relationships. And I will tell you that the stories they share today are going to bring hope to you as well. The label, passionate about relationships, for them is worn as a badge of honor. They're acutely sensitive to unfairness and injustices in all societies and are working for a better world where they can. They possess an unshakable desire to keep pushing the boundaries of learning to love well and are zealous in sharing what they are learning. In today's episode, Barry, Paula, and I discuss a variety of things, but we're primarily focusing in on how we can care for the soul of our marriage and our spouses. So whether you're single, desire to be married, wish that you weren't married, are married, have been married for a short time, or maybe for a long time, no matter what your relationship status is, I'm convinced that this conversation is well worth your time listening today. So without further ado, here is part one of my conversation with my good friends and an amazing couple, Barry and Paula Davis. Enjoy. Barry, Paula, so good to have you on Perco's Podcast, and it's so good to see you guys. Thank you so much for jumping into the conversation and helping us to look after the souls of our spouse and our marriage. It's so great to have you. How are things in Sydney today? How are things in your neck of the woods?
Well, we've got a bit of a cloudy day here today, James, but it's we're looking forward to this podcast, I think. We're not quite sure what's going to unfold here. So yeah, it'll be an exciting hour or so to be with you.
Yeah, and just before we started the conversation, we were reminiscing a little bit. Yeah. We have known each other since I was probably 6 or 7 years old. So we're talking nearly 40 years. And you guys have just, you said you're celebrating 47 years of marriage. Is that right?
Yes.
This month. Which is amazing, especially, I would say, in today's day and age. Not many people can say that they've been married for nearly 50 years, that's for sure. And I'm super stoked to be able to have a conversation about marriage, about caring for the souls of our spouse and each other, because it's such an important topic, I think, so relevant. But before we get to that, I thought we'd have a little bit of fun. We like to start off our podcast with some questions that are a little bit fun. Normally, when I'm interviewing a guest just as an individual, I'll ask them some either or questions, a list of them, like tea or coffee, and then they tell me what's their favorite, that kind of thing. And we go through a short list. But today, I thought we would do a little bit of a unique question and answer time with the idea of the newlywed game. So you guys have been married nearly 50 years, and I've sent you some questions individually that has taken you back in time. What's that, Baz?
It doesn't sort of fit though that we're newlyweds. So.
Yeah, but I think it'll be fun to see how well your memory is. You know, that'll be good. So the first question that I sent Barry and Paula before we started the podcast was, what did your spouse wear on your first date? And Paula, you responded, you said that you went to Barry's grandfather's farm and you're pretty sure that he wore some long pants for slashing, because you would, sounds like you were slashing some paddocks or something like that, and a t-shirt. Barry, true story or no?
That is a true story.
Yeah, true story. And you said, Baz,
I should have twigged back then. He's such a practical person, the long pants, you know. Yeah. And I was supposed to be working on the farm and I just wanted to swim in the river.
She wore play clothes and she should have worn work clothes.
Yeah, work clothes. She did not come prepared.
Not at all.
Our differences emerged right in the beginning.
Yes, yeah. Well, and you got this right. You got this right though, Barry. You nailed it. You said, hey, I took her out to my grandfather's farm. And you said that she wore some casual clothing or play clothing. Yeah.
I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So the next question I asked you both was, who said I love you first? So you both answered correctly. Barry did. So Baz, tell us a little over eager, maybe, Paula. What was the situation there?
No, I was very shy in those days, actually. And even he was the one to instigate our first kiss as well. I think you asked us that one.
I did. That was the next question. Outside of the Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, outside the nurses' accommodations. So were you a nurse back in those days, Paula?
Yeah, very young. We met when I was about 15 and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was very young, very not connected to my inner world or myself or anything like that. So I was quite shy and I just let him take the lead.
Quite taken by him, obviously. Would you say, Baz?
It was months into our dating, actually.
Okay. I thought he never would, actually.
I was pretty shy as well. And not very experienced in the things of romance.
Yeah. So how old...
attracted to his kindness. He was probably one of the first truly kind men I'd met.
Wow. And how old were you guys when you got married then?
I had just turned 21.
Okay. So and Barry?
I'd be 24.
24. Okay. So the next question I asked, I love this question. Who's the better driver? And I'm going to share Paula's answer to this, because you both got this correct. You both said, Barry just immediately said that Paula was the better of the two drivers. But I prefer reading Paula's answer to the question. Paula said, I've only had one fine the entire time that she's been driving. Barry, on the other hand, has a problem with red light cameras. I love it. I love it. So,
Jace, many times I've been in an intersection at nighttime and it lights up like a Christmas tree as the camera catches me in my indiscretion.
Oh, that's so good. It's like a flash pot goes off in the
middle. Yeah, boom. Uh-oh, I've done it again.
Oh, so good. For those that are listening from overseas that are not familiar with the Australian driving conditions, we have a lot of cameras compared to the rest of the world that take care of our speeding and especially our red lights and kind of curb the enthusiasm of perhaps drivers like Barry occasionally.
They do.
So the next question I asked was, name the best gift that you've ever gotten from your spouse. So here's what I'd like to do. Barry, what do you think Paula said was the best gift that you ever gave her?
Mm-hmm. Myself? No.
That's a good one.
You wish.
It would be an event, I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty close.
It isn't. Yeah, it's very close.
Maybe it's the yacht on the harbour.
Yacht on the harbour. Close. Yeah. Not in the same I think hemisphere, but it's still an event. So a hot air balloon ride over
Serengeti.
Masai Mara. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been a fantastic.
That was spectacular.
Yeah, great experience. Paula, what do you think Barry said?
I would think it was when I came to him and said, please forgive me for wanting you to be God in my life that only you can be. I would think that was very freeing for him. It was like a weight lifted.
That would be, yeah, and that is a great gift, because I feel as though every couple at some point puts an expectation on the spouse that is just impossible for any human being to be able to achieve.
Quite demanding, actually.
Yeah, yeah. No, he said that you gave him the gift of a romantic weekend in the Yarra Valley.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes, that was fabulous.
Yeah. So those are, yeah, that's super fun. I love that question about the gifts. You guys nailed the next question, like, to a T. I asked you, if you won the lottery, what's the first thing you'd buy together? You both said that you'd love to get a nice unit or a beach house around the beach, Lennox Head specifically.
Oh, there you go.
But then you also went on to say, or on top of, you'd love to give the finances to be able to build a pediatric hospital in Nithin, I believe. Am I pronouncing that correctly, Nithin?
It works with the slum children in India.
Yeah, so unpack that for me a little bit. What's the connection there? What's the passion? Because you both said the exact same combination.
We've been living too long together. Oh, Ninton's just, I call him the George Mueller of India.
Mm.
He's just this lovely younger man who has a heart for the slum kids. And I can remember one time we were going around, we were having a meeting with him and his team, and we were asking them what their dream was.
Yeah.
And he began to cry.
Wow.
As I am. And to share what his dream was. And he said, what I would love is to be able to build a pediatric hospital for the young kids. And his wife has an accounting background, and he's got these tears streaming down his face. And I just see her with her eyes teared up as well, look at me and just roll her eyes as if, wow, that's impossible.
Yeah.
But they all just loved him as a leader, and they just hugged him. And if I could, God willing, or somehow God would supply it, I would love to be able to say, Ninton, build it.
Yeah. Maybe somebody, Barry, listening to this would say, I have a way for that to happen.
Yeah. Gives me goosebumps.
We serve a big God. He can do some amazing things, and he can do it again. The next question I asked you guys was, who's the better listener? This one's intriguing to me, the responses. So Barry was quick to say that he's the better listener. Paula says that it's debatable. So I'd love to have a public debate about it on the podcast. Let's debate it out and find out who's the better listener here. Why did you say debatable, Paula? What are your thoughts?
Because I'm trained in listening, and I'm very good at it with other people.
Yeah.
But in our relationship, I'm not so good at it, I don't believe. And I can very much turn the conversation where I want it to go.
Yeah.
So we have a couple of techniques that slow us down and so I can really listen to him.
What's one of those techniques that is a go-to for you?
And this is something that we've introduced overseas and everywhere we've gone, and the feedback is that it's one of the best things, and that's just parroting. So he begins the conversation and I just parrot back what he said, and then I ask, is there anything else to that? You know, is there any more to that?
Yeah.
And he just does his own processing while I listen. So I don't have to think of what I'm going to reply.
Yeah, not thinking of how you're going to respond, but simply reiterating what they're saying and affirming and validating what you're hearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I sit there and I'm able to talk without expecting something back immediately. And so it gives me space to just, I call it like skating on an ice pond. Yeah, round and round, and there's a hole in the middle, and all of a sudden you come to the hole and boom, you slip through.
Yeah.
And then you get into the meat of what's going on. And that's been a really helpful thing for us to do, to just slow it down.
Because I can hold my own stuff because I know it's my turn next.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm really fascinated to know why you said you were the best listener.
I take in my world in a sensate way. And so I think I pick up a lot of the detail. Where I don't have skill would be more the message beneath it. But being around you, I've got a lot better at that. And so, yeah, I said I was the better one in more recent time, certainly not in the beginning of our relationship.
That's fair.
And in a sense, you've done it to me. Because just being around Paula and doing what we do, levels of ability to listen and to understand things have been exponentially increased.
Yeah.
Because it's opened up a new world for me.
Yeah.
I don't have to stay in the head. I can go to the heart very quickly.
When would you say, Barry, and we've got to get on to the other questions, but the joy of being the host of the podcast means I get to just keep staying in the questions I want to stay in. When did that transformation begin for you, the transition from staying in your head and allowing conversations to move to your heart?
What a good question.
It's a great question. And I can take some time here.
Yeah, yeah.
It was my first trip to Africa.
Okay.
And I've already explained to you, I take in things in a sensate way.
Yeah.
So I rely on my senses all the time and I'm hyper alert to that. I'm always reading people and what's going on. And so I get off the plane at Entebbe Airport and immediately my senses are just overwhelmed. I'm seeing things I've never seen before. I'm hearing things the sounds are all different. The smells, it's just like an assault on all of my senses.
Mm.
On the way into where we were staying in Kampala, which is quite a long trip, I couldn't speak. It was as if I was just disconnected from all the ways that I'd always handled life. And so that disconnection sort of happened more into our meetings together, and we were doing some marriage work with these lovely Ugandan couples. And I recognized that I was a different person there. I think for the first time in my life, I was actually present in conversations. I wasn't thinking what was next. I didn't have a mapped out program. I was just floating and present to people.
Mm.
And Jace, I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
I can remember one time almost as if I was above myself, looking down on what was happening as I was laughing with these Ugandan people. And I thought to myself, who in the world is that? And yet as the weeks we were in Africa unfolded, I enjoyed that person far more. And so I recognised that there was someone else here. I know I came back to Sydney and I said, well, I'd rather be the person I was in Africa than the one I am here.
Wow.
And that began a journey.
Yeah.
And the journey required me to, you would call it soul care, to go within a little. And I got some help. I got some counselling help to just figure out what in the world is going on here. And I became far more aware of my inner world than I'd ever been.
Yeah.
And I think as soon as you begin to understand that a little bit and be more comfortable in it, it gives you a skill to move into someone else's inner world.
Yeah.
And that began, and one of those skills is listening.
Yeah.
That's where the listening began, I would say.
Barry, that's a fantastic story. I love hearing that story because it's just such a powerful visual of how God allowed you to experience something that opened up a part of the world to you that you'd never experienced before. I'm not an expert in this area, and Paula, you've got training in this area, but from my understanding, we are the only creatures that have that ability to be kind of out of body experience and to look in mentally and to be able to see ourselves experiencing something. From what I'm, you know, read and what I've been told, that's a uniquely human gift that God's given us, to be somewhat separated from a situation and to look into it. What an incredible gift that God's given us to be able to care for our souls, I think, in a way that's uniquely human. So good.
And I've watched the change, and I like the person now much better than the one before he went to Uganda.
And I'm actually a lot more comfortable.
I've said many times, I don't want to go back to the person that I used to be before the transformation around this area of soul care. And I love, Barry, you defined or you described about this inner world, and the working definition that I use for soul care, I leverage from a mentor of mine. He describes it as this: it's the tending to the garden of your inner life. And I love that metaphor of gardening. There's so many things that we do with a garden to care for it that can be applied to our inner life. And I think, you know, God's got me on a journey of discovering what that looks like.
That's a fantastic way of describing it, Jay, because it's interesting. You know, I've got an appointment with a counsellor in a couple of weeks, because there's something there that I just want to talk about. I want to bring out into the open a bit more.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing thing. And there's a few weeds around that need plucking.
Yeah. I'm eventually going to release some things that I'm working on that have to do with gardening and its applications to our lives in our inner world of weeding and watering and fertilizing and all of the above. So yeah, super excited about that. Well, the next question I have on the list is, what would you play, or I should say, who would play your spouse in a movie? So
easy.
So Barry, who do you think Paula said would play you?
Daniel Craig.
The man from Snowy River, right?
No.
James Bond, Jace.
James Bond. I'm so sorry.
Hey, Jace, picture that man coming out of the water. Me.
I should have known. I should have known. I think I was actually thinking of a different guy, the older guy in the movie Man from Snowy River, but
Kirk Douglas.
That's who I was thinking of, a young Kirk Douglas. But
I've been told that I look like his son.
Yeah, that's what I reckon you do. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. So, what did you, Paula, who do you think?
Daniel Craig lookalike.
A Daniel Craig lookalike, yeah. Paula, who do you think Barry put down for you that would play you in a movie?
No idea. The only real actress I know the name of is Meryl Streep.
I could have put that, but it
wouldn't work. Well, he wrote down Natalie Woods, but I love this. She's dead, so that could be problematic.
And her husband may have been responsible.
That's awkward. This is an awkward moment on the podcast where a husband's possibly responsible for the death of the actress that Barry put down. But then he followed that up very quickly with Sandra Bullock, who is a fantastic actress. I think she's a phenomenal actress. So, yeah, well played. All right, what's your spouse's dream holiday destination? Barry, what do you think Paula put down for you?
Oh, okay. I've said Canada. A dream holiday. Maldives.
Maldives, okay. She wrote down the Nordic fjords right now.
No, that was his. I wrote down his dream holiday destination
was home. That was, she said that you wouldn't want to go anywhere.
She's right.
Being at home is your place. So Barry wrote down Nordic fjords for you, yeah. Paula. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a place you've always wanted to go to?
Yeah, I'd like to travel up through Norway and right to the tip. I love those wild nature places. They're just wild and free and beautiful,
Jace, one time we were flying from Switzerland,
Switzerland
to the UK, to United States. And, you know, normally that's Switzerland, New York.
Yeah.
Paul said, oh, let's do a stopover. It was Iceland.
Beautiful.
You always stop over in Iceland on the way to America.
So I sort of looked at it and I said, how is that a stopover?
Yeah, it's not exactly on the way, is it?
No.
No. But was it as gorgeous as everyone describes?
Yeah,
knocked dead gorgeous.
Yeah.
Actually, Jason, I was pleased we did it, even though
I
was
so good.
Moaning and groaning when she said it.
We snowmobiled on a glacier.
I look like James Bond in one of those.
That was your Daniel Craig moment, like Kirk Douglas.
Paula was in the same. She looked like Catwoman. It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. So good. All right. Well, last question for this introductory period, which is now not so introductory, but it's fantastic because I think we've already unpacked some fantastic things. But I asked this final question: what's your spouse's hidden talent? And Paula, I'm assuming, Barry, this will be of no surprise to you. Paula was very quick to say, well, he's certainly not a handyman. Certainly not a handyman. But I love this talent, Barry, that Paula describes that you have. You have this incredible way of explaining complex theological issues and concepts, and you present them in a way that people can understand, not just understand, but they can engage and connect with. Because it's one thing to understand something up here. It's another thing to really engage and to see it applied to someone's life. So that's a powerful skill, mate. That's a really powerful skill.
It is. And I love that about him.
Yeah, she's got it.
So I may have been aware of this skill that Barry has. I was not aware of the skill, Paula, that Barry says that you have, your hidden talent. And I don't know how I missed this, knowing you guys for so long, but play guitar and has a beautiful voice.
Really? Wow. Okay, I'll just let that wash over me. That's unexpected.
When I first met her, she was playing guitar.
Yeah.
She used to sing in church.
Yeah.
She has a lovely voice.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's a shame that it hasn't been developed. Actually, her daughter has a beautiful voice as well.
Our daughter.
Yeah. The daughter from her first marriage.
No.
the same marriage is still in.
Baby.
Well, you guys have got this huge passion for helping marriages to thrive. And Barry, from you and I, our conversations with each other, that's not always been the case over the 47 years for the two of you, but you've been through this journey together and developed some skills. Paula, you've got a ton of background now, both educationally, but also experience in the counseling space. Barry, your career as an accountant, I wouldn't say necessarily is the pathway that most people take through to counseling, but although, you know, maybe you've done some financial counseling over the years, I don't know. But I'd love to hear the backstory of how you guys have come to this passion and how you've been led to help couples thrive in their relationships, both educational background, Paula, on your side, but then even just your own experience as a couple that's led you to where you're at today.
I'll let Polly do the educational background, but Jason, our journey began because we needed it.
Yeah.
I can remember I was in the garage at a home and I was painting the wall, and both of us had sort of gone to our own corners after a failure of a church plant, and I was just struggling with the sense of failure and disappointment and, you know, asking God, how come? And I was just within myself and quite isolated from Paula, probably blaming her for how it had happened and what had happened. And so I'm down there painting, and I can remember she just came to the top of the steps and she put her head around the door and she said, it's over for you and me. we'll stay together for the sake of the kids, but it's finished. And I was just stunned. Yeah, I don't know what I expected would happen because of the behaviour that I'd been exhibiting toward her. I don't know where I thought that would end up, but here it was, and all of a sudden I was faced with the reality, this is over. I haven't got it anymore. All of my dreams, all of my goals, all my hopes seemed to just shatter and fall on the floor of that garage. And I was just completely gobsmacked, a mess. And so I had no idea of what we would do from that point on. I can remember going to God, even though I wasn't happy with him, and just saying, well, I don't know what it is to love. You're going to have to teach me. You're going to have to show me. And so I went to Paula and I said, I don't believe I've loved you. I think you've been a very good friend to me, and we've got a lovely companionship. And I'm not sure I know how to love, but I'm asking God, and I'm going I'm willing to find out what loving you is all about. Mm. And what did you do with that?
Yeah, we'll see. That was my response at that particular time. Because the lead up to that is we come back from America where we lived for a few years, and we had our daughter just a couple of months after we came back. She was our second child. And in those days, nobody did grief or anything like that. So we just kept going.
Yeah.
And I had our daughter and really deep postnatal depression. And the ensuing years, I felt really left alone. During the most painful time of my life.
Mm.
And when we had the church planned and that failed, it was almost like a resurrecting of that. You know, here, this is painful and you're on your own and, you know, we're near me. And so I made an inner vow that said, to need people hurts. I'll never need anyone again.
Wow.
And you're going to be the first.
Wow.
And I just became very cold and hard, and you know, it's been the rest of my life trying to reverse that vow, yeah. And learn to love and be present. But because of those failures, we actually just, I don't know what made us decide, but we decided to go to one of the marriage weekends that Family Life, which is now Interrelate, used to hold. And I remember them going around a circle and saying, what are you feeling? And we looked at each other, what's a feeling? You know? There was something about that weekend that gave us a slither of hope.
Yeah.
And so we went to counselling. We began to work on it. I'm still very reticent inside. But he did start to, I recognised his willingness to change. And I responded to that willingness, even though he didn't have a clue how to do it, and neither did I.
It was interesting, Jase. I used to get a periodical called Bibliothesacra out of Dallas College.
Yeah.
And it came. I got the next month after that, it came in, I think, either the elder or the deacon as a servant, the servant leader.
Yeah.
And that had never sort of penetrated my theological training, that as a leader I was to be a servant. And in this relationship, in the family, I was to serve. And it was just revolutionary for me. And so I just took it on board. How can I serve these that I love? And that was a practical way for me to begin reorientating the focus of my life, which was very self-focused and self-protective, incredibly self-protective.
Mm.
I was walled up like you wouldn't believe, so much so that I couldn't tell anybody what my feelings were, because everything was done through the head. It was rational.
Barry, why so self-protective, do you think?
To let Paula see the real me, the sense of failure, the sense of inadequacy, the weakness that I felt, to let her see that was an incredible risk.
Yeah.
Yet I knew it anyway.
Yeah.
Don't they always though, Baz?
Yeah.
they can see right through it, but we've got this persona as men that, nah, I've got this whole thing sorted.
And I don't get that, Jace. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
The fragility that was me. And yet, I kept persevering with it.
We gradually started to change, and we had the particular movement we were in at the time saw the changes, and they said, would you put a weekend together for us?
Okay.
So we invited 12 couples on that to give us really constructive feedback, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah. So that marriage weekend or that little retreat that you did with family life, that gave you a little glimmer of hope.
Yes.
And it seems like to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but if there's still a glimmer of hope, there's still a pathway forward.
Yes.
If there's no glimmer of hope, then, you know, it feels as though it may be impossible to overcome.
Yes.
Incredibly difficult.
You're very correct. Mm. So, we had that glimmer of hope, and it's not the life we would have chosen.
Yeah.
When we look back, that's where the fruit has been. Quite, it blows us away, actually.
Yeah. So, Barry, I resonate so much with your story. And I would say my greatest regret in our marriage to date, I've got lots of them, but if I'm looking at the list and prioritizing them, close to the top is my lack of championing the dreams and the ambitions of Kristen, my spouse, which I'm reversing that now. I've just spent way too much of my time focused on what I felt like God wanted me to get done or what God wanted me to accomplish, the goals and the dreams and ambitions of my own. What advice would you give to someone like me or anyone else that matter that's maybe listening, whether it's a husband or a wife, because I think either spouse can sometimes get caught in the trap of focusing on what they're trying to achieve as opposed to their spouse's dreams and ambitions. What advice would you give to that person to begin the transition, the transformation that you went through to no longer be so focused on yourself?
Jace, I think that just even the desire to understand what that is for your spouse and for your children as well, what their hopes and dreams are, and then become a champion of those things. Just the willingness to turn in that direction is fantastic. I'd have to say, by my time with Paula and what we do, that underlying that is the best thing that Paula can do for me and the best thing I can do for her is help her to discover who she is, who God made her to be, and help her to just embrace that identity that God has given her in a not just an intellectual way, but to really get hold of it in her heart and to do whatever I can to give her opportunities to explore that, to get hold of it and to use it, to flex the muscle of who she is, who she really is.
Paula, are there practical ways that you've seen Barry do that for you, like on a practical level?
Just his own journey, I think, is huge. And the fact that he would take his stuff to someone else and talk it through, a counsellor and talk it through, has been huge for me, because then he comes back and he wants to talk about that and he's a different person. But, you know, we're kind of wounded, but we live out those wounds and we're not aware that we're doing it. And when you're ministering out of the wound, there's a whole different energy than when that wound is healed and you're ministering out of the healed part of that. So part of our journey together has been discovering the wounds that run our lives in a sense. And we've noticed that in people who minister, like missionaries and things like that, there's a burnout, there's a fatigue, because you get called into ministry as we did in that church plan. But we didn't know who we were. Mm. We didn't know what the wound was that we were living out of. And for me, for example, you know, the message I got from my parents was, from my mother especially, you're the cause of all the problems around here. We'd be better off if you weren't around.
Wow.
And the other message was from my father, no one's going to come for your heart. You're on your own.
Yeah.
So every time something's triggered in our relationship, like that church plant failure, those messages come out. So he's actually freed me a lot to help me discover what those messages are and how they control our relationship. And when we're triggered in this relationship, it pushes me back into my own stuff to go and do some stuff about it.
Barry, what would that look like then on a practical level when you hear Paula maybe speaking a certain way or processing a certain way? Do you help her to identify, hey, what's the underlying message behind that? And then maybe redirect to, you know, what's Christ's message in that? Is that what it looks like? Or would it play that out for us?
If I did that at the time it was happening, Jace, I'd probably have to run to a bomb shelter.
Yes, yes.
Okay. If I had to, I mean, what we're trying to get hold of is internal stuff.
Yeah.
And make it practical. If I had to encapsulate it, the best thing I can offer Paul is a safe place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the way that I can create that safe place or contribute to it is to not be self-protective.
Yeah.
To not be defensive, to actually be able to take the anger that's directed my way and be able to take hold of it. And then when the moment is opportune, speaking to that place.
Instead of running away and withdrawing.
Yeah, and which would be my normal approach, would be to just shut down, absorb it, and slink away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then because of that message and because of our early experiences, once again, I feel abandoned and left alone.
Yeah.
And to deal with it myself, yeah. So we're reversing that. And, you know, in my field, we call it a corrective emotional experience. And as we do that with each other, we actually experience that with God. And as we do it with God, we experience it with one another. So it's a multifaceted process.
So in a practical way, Jase, my first thought is stay and convey.
Okay.
Tell Paula what's going on for me. And normally it's like, Paul, at the moment, my brain's gone to mush. I'm panicking internally. I'm of no use to you in this place. So just give me 10 minutes and I'll come back to you.
Yeah.
And then my resolve is to come back to her. My observation of marriages, Jason, the ones that are thriving is where the male energy is present.
Yeah.
The male is initiating. The male is moving toward, not away.
Yeah.
And I can move away by shutting up and withdrawing, or I can move away by exploding in anger.
Yeah.
Both come from the same place, which for me, my earlier message that I received was, you can do better, which was a lovely aspirational message. But I took it on board and saying, well, hold on, is there something wrong? Is there something wrong with me? I'm not quite good enough.
Yeah.
And so as soon as I get into a situation with Paula and Satan touches that little wound, I can get very defensive and go into my routine of withdrawing. So it's just asking God for the courage to stay in that place and move toward. And that's not necessarily going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
But to name it.
Yeah.
And that makes it, does that make it safe for you?
It does, and we can always really tell women who are loved. There's something about a woman who is loved who has a different energy and a different way of ministering than somebody who's ministering because they feel unloved.
Okay. What are some signs of that to you?
The signs... I think it's that emotional connection. That people think the leading cause of divorce is, you know, arguments over finance or sex or whatever, but it's actually the lack of emotional connection between us. Mm. That is the most devastating thing, because when we get married, it's almost like we're asking, as a little baby does, are you going to be there for me when I'm distressed? Can I count on you?
Yeah.
And if the answer is no, I'm on my own, I'm going to feel very unloved. If the answer is yes, in all my frailty, I'm going to try and be there for you and let's do this together, I feel really loved.
Yeah.
You know what I reckon it is, Jay? What I see is a warm confidence.
Okay.
It's not a confidence that comes from, I've got to show you how good I am or anything like that. Or it's not a confidence that says, I've got this gift, look at it, or anything like that. There's just a warm confidence.
That's a great description.
Yeah, I like that.
Mate, I think it's incredibly attractive.
No, because you're not no one's threatened by a warm confidence, but they also don't feel like that person needs them to be something for them or to affirm or to, applaud them for their gift or whatever. Yeah.
It's just lovely when you see it, Jase.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it a lot.
Sure.
But when I see a woman like that, it's very special.
But there's my side of that too, because I felt so hurt by you, which tapped into my early messages about being on my own. I couldn't actually see you. And so when we had that church failure, one of the things that you really missed was you wanted me to support you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yet I had no idea what support meant. And you had actually never conveyed that level of passion to me that you had, and your dreams and your longings. They were never shared. And so what am I actually supporting?
Yeah, how could I share them? They were very intrinsic to me. Yes. They were my dreams, my aspirations. And to put them out in the marketplace and have people pick at them, it's almost like an artist.
But me?
Yeah.
You didn't let me.
No. It's almost like an artist that paints a picture.
Mm.
That there's a risk in that. Because to put it out there, people can pick it to pieces. And so what I was trying to do in that situation was to have this incredible passion, not share it, and hopefully someone would pick up that they need to follow me in and help me to do my passion. But and particularly you, just don't ask questions, just support me.
Mm. To be honest, I don't think you felt safe enough to be able to share your heart with me like that.
No.
We didn't have that safety in our relationship and that emotional engagement, and it was very brittle in those days.
Because if I shared that with you and I failed, I don't know what that would have been. Mm. I was afraid of that.
Yeah.
For those that are listening to the podcast, let me highly recommend go over to the YouTube channel and watch the conversation between Paula and Barry. Because there's something not just in the audio that you'll pick up, but in the visual, the connection that they make, this emotional connection visually, looking at one another and connecting with each other, I think is a powerful, powerful thing. So go ahead, press pause on the podcast, jump over to the YouTube channel and watch it, because it's a powerful, powerful thing.
Well, that is a great spot for us to pause this conversation with Barry and Paula. And it's also a great place for me to give a shameless plug for our YouTube channel. We are seeing an incredible conversation unfold with Barry and Paula. And I actually am learning more from watching them have this conversation than just listening to it. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can just go to YouTube, search Perko's podcast, find this episode, watch it so that you can learn from the way that Barry and Paula are interacting with each other, but also subscribe so that you can then watch all of our episodes. We'll be posting this video of this conversation after we release part two of the conversation next week, so be on the lookout for that. Well, before I go, as always, I want to make sure that nobody misses out on hearing conversations like this one. The best way to do that is to subscribe to the podcast, wherever you're listening to it on. And you can also go over to my website, jason.com. PercoPerkins.com and sign up for our weekly email. We promise not to send you emails every day that just clutter up your inbox. We just want to simply send you resources that will help you care for your soul, including when we release these episodes each week. As always, I'd love to hear from you. If you're finding these conversations helpful in feeding your soul, I'd love to hear about it. I hear from people on social media and via email every single week who are being encouraged to care for their soul because of these conversations. In fact, this week I chatted with one of our podcast listeners who shared with me a number of things that he learned from the conversation we had recently with Sean C on a recent episode. And it was just so encouraging to hear what he's learning. That's why I'm sharing these conversations with everyone, because I'm learning so much from them. I want to share them with you as well. So let me know what you're learning. Hit me up on social media. I'd love to connect with you. Also, I'd love to connect with you via email if that's the best way to do it for you. You can shoot me an email. hello@jasonpercoperkins.com is my email address. The other thing I'd love to ask you to do as a favor for us, if you are finding these conversations helpful for you, I bet you know somebody that it would be helpful for as well. Would you mind sharing the episode with them and let them listen to it? Maybe you want to do that via social media or maybe via email, but it would be great if you shared it with a friend. Another great way to get the word out about all of our episodes is by leaving us a rating and a review on your preferred podcast platform. All of those things help us to get these great conversations to as many people as possible. And our goal around here is really simple. We want to see an entire generation of leaders reach their goals, but at the same time also authentically be able to say, it is well with my soul. Hey, thanks so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this episode. I can't wait to share part two of this conversation with you next week. Barry and Paula are going to unpack many more ways that we can care for the soul of our spouse and for the soul of our marriage. I know you will not want to miss that part of the conversation. Until then, I look forward to connecting with you online this week and sharing part two of the conversation with you next week. Cheers.
You've been listening to Perko's podcast. Join us next time for more insights on strategy, leadership, and soul care, to help you reach your personal, professional, and spiritual goals while at the same time not losing your soul. In the meantime, make sure to connect with us on social media. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.